And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
It is crunch time in fantasy hockey. Hello and welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 21 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Kahn, Chris Meany, and a returning Pete Jensen. What's going on, Jake?
Good to have Petey back. Good to have the whole crew back for fantasy playoffs. We can't do fantasy playoffs without Petey, so good to have the whole crew, Nick, and I'm looking forward to getting into it today. And Pete's got the full waiver wire list for us, and this is the most important time of the season to hop on that waiver wire.
Yeah, firstly, congratulations to anybody who won first in your league and are getting ready for the playoffs. In general, it's a busy time in fantasy hockey and a tough time for some of major injuries to occur, but we're seeing them now with Matthews. Drysdale leaves the game on Sunday, Jake, against the Oilers, and Dylan Larkin last week for Detroit, who are on a tailspin of the century right now.
It's tough because, you know, at this time of the year, there's no replacing those types of players, right? If you're a Larkin owner, if you're a Drysdale owner, if he's going to have to miss some significant time, obviously Sidney Crosby sounds like maybe he's rounding the corner as well. And I talked on last episode how nice of Evgeny Malkin to time his suspension out to come back for fantasy playoffs, but you can't replace these guys. And that's why we have Petey here breaking down the waiver wire in a little bit, because this is the time to hop on it and find some value.
You're spot on about Malkin, and I keep looking at these Penguins players, Nick, on Yahoo, and a lot of them are available. Anthony Mantha, Igor Chinnikov, we've talked about over the past few weeks. These guys are widely available, and the Penguins have a really nice fantasy hockey schedule moving forward.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to bring up with Pittsburgh this week. I think if you're looking for Monday, Wednesday teams, the Pens are right there for you, and we'll see what the prognosis is on Sidney Crosby. Maybe he returns on Monday or as early as Monday against Colorado, but I wanted to shift the focus to start here, Jake, to the Toronto Maple Leafs and ways to replace Austin Matthews. Obviously, we'll talk about external options here with Pete Jensen, but Bo Grew is a guy who's had a really good start here coming from the minors. Did score 27 times in the AHL this year, but has 3 goals in 4 games. I don't think anybody wants to touch Max Domi. I think you're probably looking externally for replacement options for Austin Matthews, right?
Yeah, I didn't think we'd be talking Bo Grew at all during the season, but a nice little story there. And Easton Cowan as well is somebody I would look at. I know Meany's brought this up on a couple episodes as well. Looking at some of these young guys that are going to get an opportunity down the stretch. I know Easton Cowan has had a pretty decent opportunity all year, but at this point, Leaf season is done. You look at a team like the New York Rangers, some of these other teams that are completely out of it, there's no reason for them not to give these young guys a chance. Gabe Perreault with the New York Rangers, first line, first power play. These are the types of guys I'm going to look at here over the next couple of weeks. So I think it's a nice pivot move off the teams that, Meany, aren't necessarily playoff teams. You look to the teams at the bottom of the standings. Nobody wants these guys, and I think that's how you can maybe win your league is go for a Gabe Perreault, go for an Easton Cowan, go for these players that are completely out of it, but on but getting good line assignments on those teams that are out of the playoffs.
Yeah, there's certainly players to monitor. I mean, you know, you have to trust some of the guys that are on your team. They got you to the playoffs for a reason. So I'd be looking at maybe more established players. Like, I'm sure we're going to give some love today to Anze Kopitar, who's now the franchise leader in points. He's hit the score sheet in 6 of his past 7 games. His ownership, I think, is sub 40%. You know, you got a revenge game tonight with Artemi Panarin at MSG. Panarin's got the 12 points in 10 games as a king. Kempe has an 8-game point streak. So that trio alone is extremely hot at the moment, Nick. So I'd be looking at him. Maverick Bourque has center eligibility, playing up on that top line with Wyatt Johnson. Jason Robertson, Dallas has points in 15 straight. Pavel Zacha has center eligibility as well, and the Bruins have a really nice schedule. So I'd be looking elsewhere rather than some of these players on Toronto that are getting a little bit of a boost in ice time.
Means, I saw you tweet about this, and I understand we're going to have a lot of coverage about this in the offseason, but how do you attack Austin Matthews next fantasy season in 26-27, because he was a perennial guy that was going, what, in the top 15 this year? I don't have the ADP in front of me, but it was a really down year, the second straight down year under Craig Berube.
Yeah, and, you know, of course he battled some injuries, but career low shooting percentage. He's going to wrap up the season. Of course, the season is finished career low in terms of points and goals. But, you know, every year we see this, unfortunately, with a player where there's an injury, a star player, and the following year, Jake, you get a little bit of a discount in terms of draft day. Now, I don't think anybody's really going to be thinking about Matthews as a top 5, top 8, 10 fantasy hockey player next year. And that's where he's been going consistently over the last few years. So he's got the skill set. He's still still a really good player. I'm sure the Leafs are going to make some moves in the offseason. You have the injury tag. How is he going to recover in the offseason as well? So you're going to get him maybe late first, early second. I think he's certainly a bounce back candidate and maybe a buy in dynasty leagues.
I think it's going to be a nice buy low spot, Nick. I know now it's been a couple years of disappointing production for Austin Matthews. So I think what Meany said is right. He might even fall out closer to outside of that top 10 conversation. Now we're going to have a guy like Macklin Celebrini that enters into that conversation this year as well. Maybe a couple of different names. And I think that just pushes everybody back. So obviously a decision to be made going into next year. But I think some value on Austin Matthews. I am a little bit concerned, though. These injuries start to pile up. You know, the lack of goal scoring over the last couple of seasons. Can he ever bounce back to that full form? We're going to find out. But not a bad buy low opportunity going into next year, I think.
It's not a lot of layers to that in Toronto as well. I don't think anything's off the table with regards to that team, if you catch my drift. So maybe Matthews is a top 15 guy, maybe not for the Toronto Maple Leafs, because I think it's going to be a very polarizing summer for that organization as they look to retool or rebuild, whatever word they want to use. How about Detroit, though, Jake? It's been a great year for them. We've been waiting and waiting for them to take that next step, and it seemed like it was going to be this season now. Like two massive injuries down the stretch up the middle, with Dylan Larkin, you know, Andrew Copp's another guy, and you find out that you don't have the depth you thought you did up the middle, and the deadline's passed. So you look internally, because it's going to be at least, what, 2 weeks, they're saying, for Dylan Larkin with the leg injury. Confer and Mario Kasper. I mean, from a matchup standpoint, talk about opponents coming into the building. I know it's going to be Calgary on Monday night.
It doesn't scream playoff team when you look at those two centers. All due respect to those guys, but it's tough to replace a Dylan Larkin in this time of the year. And what a brutal way this would be for Detroit to miss the playoffs, right? For all the good that they've done all season long, and then you get these injuries, and we know the East race is very competitive. So I think fantasy-wise, Meany, I do have some interest in a JT Compher for some of these players that are just getting a lot of ice time. So I think it is a play fantasy-wise, but I am worried about Detroit's ability here to lock down that playoff spot. Nice comeback for them, though, on Saturday. Yeah. They were down and out against the Dallas Stars. 2-0 going to the third period. They found a way to at least get that to overtime and get a point. That was a very important point for Detroit in what is a really brutal road spot right now in Dallas.
Yeah, I don't like where they're at. This is a huge week for them. They have a game against Montreal, Boston, and Ottawa. Those are teams that they're battling with. So I think we'll learn a lot about Detroit here over this past week or this next week. And JT Compher, you mentioned him. I mean, he's a third-line player, but he played 22 minutes, a season-high 22 minutes in his last game. And this is a guy who averages 15 minutes. So he's centering the first line with DeBrincat and Patrick Kane. We have him in our NHL Fantasy Picks article today. He's plus 140 for a point. So he's not somebody I'm rushing to the waiver wire to grab, Nick, but even with Detroit having four games. But he's certainly somebody I'll take a look at in the prop market.
And my apologies, I believe we call him Mario. It's Marco Kasper for Detroit. And yeah, that team intrigues me a lot because it's been a really, really nice season. But we talked about it a couple weeks back, right, Jake? Somebody's going to lose steam. Maybe somebody gets in. The Ottawa Senators have been an unbelievable story. Another monster weekend for them and a lot of fantasy appeal right there right now as well.
I still really like Columbus. I agree with what you said on Ottawa. I feel like a lot of the metrics do point to Ottawa finding a way here to make it, or at least make it interesting, but still tons of interest in that Jackets roster. You can go up and down. You could even look at the third line in Columbus and maybe target it on certain nights. And the goaltending tandem in Columbus is one I'd like to look at as well, whether it's Elvis Merzlikins or Jack Greaves, who I roster in a couple of leagues. It does feel like it's kind of a 50-50 split right now. Meany, I got a lot of interest in what's going on in Columbus. I feel like you look around the league, you look at specifically in that Eastern Conference playoff race, Columbus feels like they're playing the best hockey of all these teams. I think that's something we could attack for fantasy hockey these next couple weeks.
Yeah, and our friends at Bet365 have them as a minus 250 favorite to make the playoffs, and I would agree. I think that they get in, and I also feel like Ottawa gets in. I think those are two teams that are kind of trending in the right direction, and that would mean maybe two of the three between Boston, Detroit, and Montreal, who spiraled over the weekend, don't get in. But yeah, the Blue Jackets are, ever since Rick Bonus took over, they're among the leaders in points percentage. They're getting good goaltending. They're going back and forth between the two. I'd rather own Jack Greaves than Elvis. But a lot of the offense, Nick, you brought up Connor Garland, right? This guy's still, you know, still shooting second line. Monahan up and down their lineup. Mason Marchment on the first line. Since he's been a Blue Jacket, he's been on the first line, and he's widely available in leagues. Go get him.
Love the new coach bump, certainly in Columbus. Still Lord of lukewarm here with the Los Angeles Kings, but we'll see what that team moving forward as they try to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's NCAA season on many, many levels, different sports. But, I reached out to somebody who would know prospects-wise, and they were telling me it's not a deep class in terms of expectation for college guys to be in the NHL. But one is, of course, Cole Hudson. I think he's got to be an Ottawa ad right now out of Boston University. They're cooked. They're finished. And could debut as early as Wednesday night against Ottawa here, Jake.
Well, look, these are interesting angles to play. I think something you got to keep your eye on, right? I know, Meany, you brought this up with a couple of players last week, too. And look, they don't always work out, but I think if you're going to see these guys get a shot, they might end up with some power play time. You know, you're not bringing them up for nothing. You're not bringing them up to health bomb them or play them in a fourth line role or a bottom pairing role. They're going to get some offensive opportunity. So I think something to look at, you know, maybe a Cole Hudson. I know a couple of the ones, Meany, you mentioned, I know are more dynasty stashes, you know, maybe for future seasons, but there could be a couple that might even be able to help us out this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Hudson is the one because he just signed and Nick, you mentioned how he's going to play. I mean, Boston U, their season is over. And, you know, Cole plays a lot like Lane. He really does. And he's probably not as shifty and he doesn't have the playmaking skills that Lane does, but I think he's more of a shooter. And you remember the Capitals rocked two defensemen on their power play all year long. So with Carlson gone, made his debut yesterday with the Ducks, looked good in an Anaheim jersey. Cole is certainly somebody I think that could help people out right away. You know, other guys, James Haggins, Boston College is probably going to be done pretty soon. He could play a significant role with the Boston Bruins, maybe in a top six role. Porter Mertone is playing for Michigan State and their wagon. They have the second shortest odds to win the whole tournament. And Michael Hage, who's third in the NCAA in points, who will have a significant role when he is called up to the Canadiens. He's going to play on that first line with Suzuki or Cole Caulfield or the second line with Demidoff. Michigan really is a wagon. They beat Penn State over the weekend. Hage had a goal against Gavin McKenna. So those guys probably won't help you out from a redraft standpoint, Nick. You can pick him up in a dynasty league and a keeper league, but Hudson's here, and I have a pretty good feeling he's going to be fantasy relevant over the next couple weeks.
And I guess to a lesser extent, Cole Yzerman with the New York Islanders organization too, but more likely I would say he starts with the American Hockey League, but still some decision making to be made by these respective NHL franchises. And from a fantasy standpoint, you want to try to extract value any way you can. And if it's a fantasy free agent, and among the lists this week for Pete, we'll get to Pete in your moments here, but Cole Hudson's the big one I'd identify. I love defensemen coming out of the NCAA where they're just... they're very trigger happy, very offensive. Cole Hudson could be a massive pickup, Jake, down the stretch for anybody here.
He could be, right? And I like taking a shot on these types of players where there's a bit of a ceiling. He could be a bust in terms of this year for your fantasy. Like I don't know if he's going to win you your league or anything like that, but I like playing that sort of upside where it's okay. He could come in and he could be a point per game guy the next couple of weeks and could kind of give you that boost, something you're not going to get on the waiver wire, you know, where you're grinding for a guy to maybe get a point or two in an entire week. So I like that upside play. I think Hudson's somebody I'd be looking at here.
Very curious to see where he's deployed, as we just talked about John Carlson now with the Anaheim Ducks, as we set up week 21 here, the waiver wire list, March 16th to 22nd, 56 games, another busy, busy slate. We got 5 on Monday, 9 Tuesday, 6 Wednesday, 11 Thursday, 5 on Friday, 11 on Saturday, 9 on Sunday. 4 game teams you want to look at: Boston, Buffalo, Calgary, Carolina, Chicago, Colorado, Columbus, Dallas, LA, Nashville, the Islanders, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Utah, Vegas, Winnipeg, and say goodbye to Jimmy Snuggerud this week. I'm dropping this guy a 2-game slate for the St. Louis Blues. Anything you want to pick up on there, Jake?
That hurts because Snuggerud's been very good for me lately, but you're right, 2-game week for St. Louis, and look, you got to cut ties this time of the year. You got to be a little bit ruthless. So as much as we love Snuggerud, we like some of these St. Louis Blues that are producing right now, only a 2-game week, and you just mentioned basically half the league is playing 4 games this week. It's a very balanced schedule. It's a great week for watching hockey, great week for fantasy playoffs. Most games you're going to see in one night is 11, least is 5, so it's an extremely balanced schedule. Calgary is a sneaky one for me here this week, Nick. A lot of Flames will be available on your wire. They don't play on the heavy Thursday and Saturday. And again, tons of guys are going to be available. Sharangovich, Farabee, Frost, guys like that. I think Calgary in a deep league is somewhere I'm going to be looking this week.
Yeah, I spent 30 minutes prior to doing this podcast debating if I should pick up Blake Coleman. That's where we're at on our waiver wires. And like, there's not much out there, guys. It's killing me, man. My waiver wire is all season long, like really picking at scraps. With due respect to Plano's Blake Coleman as you bring in Pete Jensen for the waiver wire list. Two Fowlers on your list this week. Where do you want to start, Pete?
Let's start with Hudson. I mean, I picked him up in one league. You know, it typically this time of year, there are injuries going on, especially on the blue line. The blue line is not as deep as it was, you know, years ago. So look at Cole Hudson, who's only 3% rostered and better than a point per game over two seasons in the NCAA at BU. He is a guy you could pick up right now. I dropped in one league. I had like a flailing spot as my fourth D. It was Klingberg. I cut ties with him. I got Hudson for the stretch run. And remember, they traded John Carlson, the puck-moving defenseman, to the Ducks. He finally made his debut over the weekend. So there is an opportunity up for grabs to get some power play time for DC.
I've been dying to bring up Bobby McMahon all podcasts, but I've been waiting for Pete and the waiver wire list because I know he's on your list, and for good reason. Pete, what a first impression for Bobby McMahon in Seattle. And Seattle scores 11 goals over the weekend in two games. All of a sudden, an offensive juggernaut out there.
Seattle never really has that goal scoring pop. You know, they have a decent offense. They've been hanging around in the playoff chase. Do I trust them over teams like LA or Winnipeg or even San Jose? Not really for that final spot in the West. But Bobby McMahon, consecutive multi-point games, 5 points in the span, two power play points, six hits and eight shots on goal. I mean, that is as robust of a category coverage pickup as you can find across the league so far after the deadline. He's one of four players in the league with 20 plus goals, 130 plus shots, and 130 plus hits this season. And he gets out of, you know, the negativity in Toronto, and he can try to help the Kraken make the playoffs here.
And what a significant role right off the hop. He led all Kraken forwards last night in ice time by nearly 2 minutes. So you go get this guy. And I kind of disagree, Pete. I feel like Seattle could make the playoffs. And look at some of these other teams and the goal differential. San Jose minus 25. The Kings minus 24. Nashville minus 30. Heck, the Ducks are first in Pacific with a negative 10 goal differential. At least Seattle can lock it down defensively. Speaking of the Ducks, Troy Terry returned last night. I was kind of surprised to see him take Cutter Gauthier's spot on that top line. But hey, it worked. Joel Quenneville knew what he was doing. A 3-point night with Kreider and Leo Carlson. And the Ducks, Pete, are one of those teams that have the Monday or have the Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday games this week. It's a really good schedule for them.
The Ducks always play on those lighter game nights down the stretch of the season. And Troy Terry, how's this guy only 39% rostered? He has 48 points in 47 games played for the Ducks this season. He's among the forward leaders in high danger goals, even though he's missed time this season. And you look big picture at the schedule, we always look at it, Means always looks at it, but right now we identified our top five schedules for the rest of the season: San Jose, Anaheim, LA Kings, Boston Bruins, and even the New York Rangers. So the Anaheim Ducks have the second most favorable strength of schedule the rest of the way.
Looking forward to Monday night. Andre Kopitar returns to Broadway, and excuse me, not Andre Kopitar, but Artemi Panarin, but he plays with Kopitar. And Kopitar has been a brilliant story. Like, this team, Pete, talk about being galvanized, want to get into the playoffs for Andre Kopitar here in his final season. He's on your waiver wire list this week.
Maybe that's what they needed, right? Like something to fight for, something to play for. Most favorable remaining strength of schedule. Only four games left against playoff teams for the LA Kings. So you'd really hope, even though they lost Fiala, that, you know, having Panarin on the top line could give them enough of a boost to get to the playoffs. If not, they really need to go back to the drawing board over the offseason. But again, changing of the guard, Kopitar's still here, and he has been the fabric of the LA Kings for, he was drafted in, what, 2005? I mean, this guy's been there for 20 years, won two cups. It's exciting to see him finish his career strong.
I don't think there's a team that has a better fantasy playoff schedule overall, Pete, than the New York Rangers. And there's a young guy out there. I know that's been a bit of a theme on today's show, some of these young players that can help you out. But you've got Gabe Perreault on your list this week, and for good reason. He's getting some nice opportunity there in New York.
Right. We've been waiting for years to see the Rangers try to utilize and showcase some of their young talent. We've seen it over the past week with Alexi Lafreniere, and now we're seeing it with Gabe Perreault, who I was pretty high on in the offseason. You know, they didn't really play him that much, and he was up and down the lineup, in and out of the lineup. But, you know, I loved what I saw from him last year or year before with Boston College, and I think that he could pop off here down the stretch. He's already showing signs of it. And the Rangers, you mentioned the schedule. I mean, I don't trust them fully at home. They've been horrible at home this year, but they got no pressure, only five games left against playoff teams, which is tied for the second fewest. They play on lighter game nights this week, and they have 4 games in each of the next 3 weeks. So that's a fantasy playoff goldmine right there.
Man, there's been some really good players that come out of college hockey over the past couple of years. You mentioned Gabe Perreault, but that Boston college team with Will Smith, Cutter Gauthier, Perreault, and Leonard is one of the better teams I've ever seen. One more for me, Colin Graf. Widely available, has been up and down the lineup, but Pete Chernyshev suffered a significant injury over the weekend against the Canadiens, and they put Graf back up on that top line with Celebrini, Will Smith. That's some great exposure.
And there are a lot of ways to tap into the Sharks right now. There's Kiefer Sherwood, who gets the hits and the shots and the goals. William Eklund, still sparsely rostered. Colin Graf, quietly tied for second on the Sharks in even strength goals this year with 19 behind Celebrini. You look at that Celebrini effect down the stretch of the season. You know, I kind of like when they spread it out with Sherwood onto the second line to give them a little bit more tenacity, and Graf certainly brings that as well. Only 5 games left against playoff teams for the Sharks.
Nice. I love the college scene on today's podcast, so let's continue to wrap up this week's list. And in between the pipes, the Montreal Canadiens, a guy certainly could be starting game one of the playoffs if they get there, and that's Jacob Fowler, right?
Yeah, I listened back to the show the other day. You guys were hyping him up for good reason, only 22% rostered. He has a shutout already, 5 wins, 9-0-2 in his first 12 games. And I just like the wrinkle that he brings compared to Sam Montembeault. I mean, Dobish has been a nice story this year. That's not a bad tandem to rock with in the playoffs. Dobish, 21 wins in 32 games. Obviously, that team is providing a lot of goal support on a nightly basis. So you just need some big saves. And Jacob Fowler is actually doing it really well at 5-on-5 in close situations and also among the goalie leaders in long-range save percentage. So he's stopping the shots that he should be.
Pete, excellent stuff. NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check out the entire list. Time for a break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, a look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
Petey, busy Monday, busy week in the NHL. Who are you rocking in your NHL Fantasy Stars lineup?
So I got Dylan Gunther going in against the Dallas Stars. I always have a Stars-heavy lineup. I got Haskinen, Jason Robertson, Wyatt Johnston with that 15-game point streak going on in their direction. And then on the Tuesday slate, going back to the tried and true, right? Kiefer Sherwood, even when he doesn't get a point, this guy's racking up the hits for the San Jose Sharks and shots on goal as well since the trade.
Fantasy stud Anze Kopitar, Maverick Bork, 2 guys that you can get for nearly 300 coins in the open marketplace. Kopitar's got points in 6 of his last 7, playing with Panarin and Kempe. And then we have Maverick Bork playing with Wyatt Johnson and Jason Robertson. So a lot of good options this week. Check out our article on Tuesday and Thursday, as well as Saturday, for the Under the Radar team to play and must own players. Download the NHL Fantasy Stars app and watch those points pile up.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Panarin revenge. Why don't we start there here, Jake? I love that. I'm going to play the anytime goal. I'm going to play the Kings money line there.
Love the Kings money line there, Nick. Anytime the Rangers are playing at Madison Square Garden, just bet against the Rangers. Maybe they've been a little bit better lately, but all season long has not been good at Madison Square Garden. We know the Kings are going to be desperate here trying to make the playoffs, so I do like that angle, both Panarin and the LA Kings. Meany, how about the Dallas Stars? Dallas at home to Utah on Monday night. I like them in regulation in this game. They've just been so solid, so steady. Outside of blowing a 2-goal lead to Detroit over the weekend, they did ultimately win that game in overtime. Was a little surprised to see them cough up that lead though in the third period, but I like how Dallas is playing, and not a bad time means maybe to update the Central Division race and what's going on there. All of a sudden Dallas making it very interesting at the top with the Colorado Avalanche. I like them tonight against the Utah Mammoth.
Yeah, Utah struggled as well. You know, we were talking about the Kraken maybe squeaking into the playoffs. Seattle's plus 260 over at Bet365 to get in. They're just a couple points behind Utah. They have a game in hand. They're playing pretty good hockey. Utah's in a tough spot against against Dallas. It did show you guys the screenshot. Somebody was listening to that long shot. What was that? Nice. 75-1 for Dallas to win the Central. They are now 8-1, just a couple points back. And I feel like Colorado's kind of limping in. They're not healthy at the moment. Brock Nelson's cooled off. Arturi Lehkonen is not healthy. You know, they have Kadri playing up at the top line. Hawaz playing in, you know, in a top six role. So Colorado's kind of limping in at the moment, where Dallas is just extremely hot. And I think 8-1 is still a pretty good number. For me, for props, I think Kopitar, right? He's just been so hot. Points in 6 of 7, like the Panarin angle. Adrian Kempe's got the 8-game point streak. So -130 for a point for Ajay Kopitar. He's been shooting the puck as well. And then you guys mentioned Calgary, and those are the tough decisions you have to make. Do you take 4 games from Coleman or Backlund or 2 from Snuggerud? But from the prop market, you can attack these guys. Coleman's +140 for a point. Backlund's +120 for a point. You put them together at 365. That's +310. And how about a shot prop, Nick? He's had at least 4 shots in 3 of 5 for Coleman. He's +130 for 3 shots tonight against a depleted Red Wings team with JT Compher as their number one center.
Sold me. Sold me. See you later, Jimmy Snuggerud, and hello, Plano's Blake Coleman. Yeah, so fired up to win a fantasy title. I'm right there with you. I'll probably do it, to be honest. Pittsburgh, Colorado, I want to see Crosby play in that game. We'll see, but we talk a lot about this central division, but the last little while, like Minnesota, what was that this weekend? You lose to the lowly Maple Leafs. They're not the same team we saw a couple months back. Ditto for Colorado, and speaking of the Avs, as mentioned, they're playing Pittsburgh. I like the over in that game. Looking a bit at Tuesday's slate, I like Montreal to beat Boston. San Jose, Edmonton's an auto bet over for me, so I'll play that again. And Buffalo at Vegas, give me a Jack Eichel anytime goal, Jake.
I'm starting to see some signs of life in Edmonton, guys. I know.
From Tristan Jarry or what?
Connor Ingram.
That's the problem. That is the problem. We know the goaltending is an issue, but we have the same conversation every single year. I go back to last year. I was saying there's no way Edmonton makes it through the first round. LA is going to beat them, and LA probably should have beat them, and they let Edmonton back in that series, and the rest is history. Ultimately, they lose to Florida. I think we do this every year with the Oilers, and they somehow find a way, and they are on the weak side of the bracket, guys. So I'm waiting, maybe patiently waiting to jump in on an Oilers number, 11-1 to win the Stanley Cup right now over at Bet365. Not a bad number for playing on that Pacific side of the bracket, assuming they stay there, Meany. I don't want them to end up in that second wild card and have to go over to the Central Division. But assuming that they stay on that Pacific side of the bracket, I do think there's some long-term value still in the Edmonton Oilers.
For sure. And we talked about Vegas and Edmonton flipping a switch. They have so much experience. We didn't really like where the Oilers were at this time last season, as you alluded to. And they went on a run. And I thought they had their way with a couple really good teams, especially the Dallas Stars. So actually, you know, Connor Ingram is a pickup as well. 24%. I streamed him yesterday. He's played 8 of the last 10 games for the Oilers. Tristan Jarry is not getting back in the net. It's meaningful hockey the rest of the way. Unless Ingram struggles, he's owned in 24% of leagues. You have San Jose, Florida, Tampa Bay coming up. It's not the same Panthers. The Sharks can score, but the Oilers are starting to cook a little bit, Nick, and I would consider picking him up. And one more prop for me, Maverick Bork. I know I've talked about him a lot, but my goodness, he's playing with 2 studs and Wyatt Johnson, Jason Robertson. He still remains plus money for a point.
I'll tell you right now, our Spotify reviews or Apple Podcast reviews would not be good if we told somebody to stream Connor, an Edmonton goalie, I don't care who it is, in their fantasy playoffs. You are playing with fire. I'm just going to put that out there. You're a bit more ballsy than me. Let's get the things here with Petey Props. What do you got for us, buddy?
And I wanted to mention about Edmonton. I mean, nobody is happier to see the Florida Panthers not make the playoffs this year than the Edmonton Oilers. That goes without saying, but back to the Dallas Stars, 15-game point streak, tied for the second longest in the NHL this season. I like the second line right now. It's cooking. Jamie Benn, +280 for an anytime goal. He's been hot, 15 points in his past 13 games, including 7 goals. And Matt Duchene, resurgent. He's their leading scorer over this 15-game point streak for Dallas. Also, Anthony Mantha, how about this guy? Bounce back player of the year. He's up to 25 goals after a recent hot streak. I like him to pot one tonight against the Avs on the road, +300. Mantha just tied a career high in goals with 25. Remember when we all had high hopes for him in Detroit back in the day? He's back, baby.
It's been contract year Anthony Mantha for like six straight years, Pete, but you're always on the money, buddy. Great job with the props this week. And Jake, we look ahead to Thursday, week 21 mailbag edition. A lot of questions are going to be coming our way because of fantasy playoffs, right?
I'm looking forward. Hopefully everybody has a good fantasy playoffs here. Hopefully you're in the fantasy playoffs. Yeah, that's the first part of all this. And then you got to try to win your matchup. And I know Meaty brought up a good point last week. Don't cook your goaltending categories too early. I know you're tempted to maybe make that stream on a Monday or Tuesday. I think play the patient game, see where you're at on the weekend, then maybe make your move. So don't use all your pickups on a Monday, but I'm excited, Nick. Fantasy playoffs, fun time of the year. And also just quickly too on the prop market, I know I mentioned Columbus earlier. Connor Garland, Sean Monahan, loving that line in Columbus right now. That's a market I'm attacking, whether it's shots on goal, points. Columbus market is hot right now, means.
I know Garland didn't hit his shot prop the other night, but he was plus 240 for three shots. So yep. they just haven't adjusted into the usage rate bump that he's seen here with the Blue Jackets. Just a friendly reminder, we have the NHL cheat sheet, nhl.com/fantasy, taking a look at the week, some deep league pickups, and a lot of people are looking for blocks and hits at this time of the season. And Nick, nearly half the league has a back-to-back. So just echoing what Jake said, you don't have to rush for a goalie stream to start the week. Maybe you can get a guy like Casey DeSmith with Dallas on the second half of a back-to-back. A little bit later on in the week, it's a busy schedule, especially on that Sunday. So save some of those moves.
Well said. Looking forward to it. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.